World leaders brainstorm how to counter hate speech on Facebook. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathma, filling in for Anu Anand. Good morning. Facebook is drafting up new restrictions for users who post live content that violates its policies on hate speech. The measures include a one-strike rule, which would immediately stop a user's access to Facebook Live for a set period of time. It comes ahead of a summit chaired by the French President Emmanuel Macron and New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern. The BBC's Su Ping Chan has us more.
How do you regulate the internet? It's a question at the heart of today's meeting of world leaders in Paris, who will call for steps to eliminate violent extremist content online. Facebook came under fire in March after graphic footage of the Christchurch attack was widely shared. Executives from the social network, as well as Amazon, Google, Microsoft and Twitter, are also expected to attend. Bertie Vidgen at Oxford University says policymakers and tech giants must work together to police the web.
What we need is a unified, joined-up approach where the government looks at the media landscape as a whole and tries to develop a policy which addresses that. Because, for example, if one of the big platforms like Twitter or Facebook, if they ban some users, you know, those users still go somewhere. They don't just disappear. They might go from Facebook, but then they might go to somewhere which is more extreme, where they can have more impact on people and actually see more radicalization.
But Adrian Shabazz, a research director at Freedom House, worries where the discussions could lead. He says sweeping changes could end up marginalising those very same communities lawmakers should be protecting.
Let's say if you are a Muslim community, oftentimes after September 11th, for example, they were the ones who bore the brunt of increasing surveillance and policing of their communities. We need to make sure that any sort of broad regulations that come into place don't end up actually censoring the voices that we need the most in our society.
What's clear is that any solution is going to take more than one summit in Paris to find. In London, I'm the BBC's Su Ping Chan for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. In Europe, the FTSE 100 opened flat as traders resisted the urge to follow Wall Street and Asia's main markets, which were higher. We are open to the world, is the message from Chinese President Xi Jinping. In his first public address since the US declared it was doubling tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods, the Chinese premier was keen to emphasise that his country is ready to embrace all. His comments come as the country reports the weakest retail sales growth in nearly 16 years, adding pressure on for more stimulus.
今日之中国
Today, China is not only China's China, it is Asia's China and the world's China. China in the future will take on an even more open stance to embrace the world. If countries go back to isolation and cut themselves off from the rest of the world, civilizations will become old and dead and lose their vitality. Believing that one's race and civilization is superior and insisting on transforming or even replacing other civilizations is stupid in terms of understanding and is catastrophic in practice.
That was President Xi Jinping. Now, you might have heard of the phrase, fake it till you make it, the idea that you can perform or act as a confident player in the office and manoeuvre your way to the top spot. Some people are better at it than others, but the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art in London is training business leaders to help them along. Charlie Walker-Wise is one of the tutors involved.
The first thing we have to sort of dispel is the idea that in any way we're helping people to act or we're helping them to be dramatic. What we do at Rada Business is we take the skills that make actors excellent communicators and we transfer it to organisational context.
Okay, well, give me an example.
An example would be people have to make sure that they can be heard in a meeting. So we will help people understand the importance of physicality in getting your voice heard. And what tends to happen is we tend to either over-energize or under-energize. And what we want to find is that Goldilocks spot so that we are showing up in the meeting in a positive way without resigning ourselves from it. And that can happen as easily as just slumping back in our chair. You open up the chest so you've got lots of resonance. And those are the sorts of really small changes that can make the difference between people hearing you and your point getting lost and someone making the same point a few minutes later and getting the credit for it.
Okay, so I'm currently slumped in my chair and I've got my legs crossed. I'm probably not projecting as well as I should do. What kind of advice would you give me? How do I sound a bit better and more authoritative?
Well, the first thing I would say is bring yourself forward in the chair that you're sitting on. Uncross your legs.
Uncrossing legs.
Are you wearing heels?
I'm not. I'm wearing flats.
That's excellent. Well done. So that your feet are flat on the floor, and there's as much of a right angle as you can get.
Oh, that's quite a task because I'm quite short.
Just try and think about making your spine long, and it can sometimes help to think that if you have a thread coming out the top of your head, that just helps sort of lengthen your spine. It can also help just to put a hand on your tummy and just focus on the breath coming from that area.
So Charlie, how do I sound now? Do I sound good?
You sound great.
A very generous Charlie Walker-wise there. Just before we go, Tamagotchis, the digital pets, are making a comeback, and this time they can marry and breed. In London, I'm Vishala Sripathna with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.